Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Spend this hour with us learning how you can protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of an extended healthcare situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting long-term care planning options available. As a certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott will help you make sense of your options. Now, here's your host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in this week. You know, last week I started the show talking a little bit, just giving the basics. Wanted to go back to basics. And just a quick recap, some of the things that we learned. The fact is 70% of us are going to need help from others during our retirement years. And so that is why we are so interested in this topic of long-term care planning. The Department of Health and Human Services says, look, at age 65, 7 out of 10 people are going to need help from others before they pass away. And that's what we call long-term care or an extended care situation. It becomes a safety issue. We just need help from other people to stay independent. So that's why we want to care about it, because when we look at a married couple, it goes from 70% to 92% chance that somebody will use it. So the odds are stacked against us. We also learned that long-term care is different than medical care. That's why it's a problem. Health insurance, your Medicare, that's designed to pay for acute care, not extended care services or what we call long-term care. We also learned that government programs don't pay for care. Medicare, again, is for acute care. Medicaid is a safety net program, which means you're broke before they're going to give you a dime. And the VA is a means-tested program as well, too. So we kind of went over that. And we learned that long-term care insurance pays for a wide array of care. Most of it's custodial. Most of it is the help that we provide loved ones. You know, it's that day-to-day bathing, dressing, meal preparation, laundry, just that's most of it. But it also pays for a wide array of services, including physical therapy and all the way up to skilled nursing. We also learned that long-term care insurance pays for care in a variety of locations. It used to be called nursing home insurance, and that is, you know, that's still a hangover for the industry. There's no doubt about it, because a lot of people still think that long-term care is moving into a facility. And the truth is, about 3 out of 4 people turn their long-term care policies on in their own home. The idea of having long-term care insurance is so you can age in place, so you can bring the support and services into where you want to be, as opposed to giving up your home and moving to a nursing home. But long-term care goes from your house all the way to, you know, adult family home, assisted living, continuing care retirement centers, all the way up to the nursing home. So again, it's not a location, it's an event. So we learned that. We also talked a little bit that, you know, how is long-term care insurance triggered? Well, it's one of two ways: by either a physical impairment, which means I need help out with 2 out of 6 activities of daily living. So that's your transferring, toileting, bathing, dressing, eating, incontinence. Or you're diagnosed with a cognitive impairment. So that would be physical impairment or cognitive impairment. Either one of those will trigger a policy. So that's how you turn the policy on. Now, in regards to this, I wanted to touch on something. We talked about this last week about how you trigger policy. When I'm saying there's only two ways to trigger a policy, either physical impairment or cognitive impairment, I'm actually talking in regards to a 7702B rider, which is actually a long-term care insurance policy. The reason this has become confusing lately is because there's a lot of life insurance policies out there, and even some annuities and some different products that are selling. They're marketing themselves as long-term care, but they're really what they call a chronic care rider or a 101G rider. Those legally can't be sold as long-term care insurance because they're not. They work differently. So you just have to be aware of what you're buying. We do not work with the 101G riders. The only time we're going to see a 101G rider is if we're doing a life insurance for a younger person, you know, maybe somebody in their 30s, and we can put that rider on for free. But as a general rule, we want to make sure, that we are focused on the 7702 rider, which is the long-term care insurance policies, and that's what I'm talking about as far as the triggers. So those were just some of the things that we talked about last week. And if you missed that show, if you miss any of the shows, you can always go back and get our podcast at 525longtermcare.com. You can ask your smart speaker to play it. We have it out there available. And again, the programs are just designed kind of as an educational format so that you can wrap your mind around this subject matter. And last week is what we were just kind of starting out with, the basics. And today I want to pick up where we left off last week and start discussing how long-term care insurance is paid out. How do you actually get your money out of your policy? Because, I mean, ultimately, that's why we buy a policy. We're not buying it for any other reason. We're buying it because if our health is compromised, we now have a dedicated source of money that's going to come to us tax-free to pay for that care. So that's what we're going to do. So, again, we know now we trigger a claim. You're either physically impaired or you're diagnosed with a cognitive impairment. So you have the ability to get your policy turned on now and start receiving your benefits. Well, I want to spend a second here and talk about benefits. If we go back into the older policies, what I call the traditional policies, and so that's what most people still have out there. That's where they're just paying that annual premium or the monthly premium, however they have it set up, for their long-term care insurance. When they go on claim, the insurance company is going to come back and say, okay, we're going to reimburse you up to X amount of dollars per day or per month. So like my grandmother's policy was a per day policy. So they look at each individual day. So for example, if you had a $200 a day policy and you spent $175 today, they would reimburse you $175 for that service today. If tomorrow you spent $250, they would reimburse you $200 because they're going to reimburse you up to your limit. On those days that you don't have care or the day that you spent $100 instead of $200, they would just say, well, that other $100 that you have, because you get up to $200 a day, and if you only spend $100, the other $100 just stays in your bucket of money for you to use later. The money doesn't expire. So that's really what we call reimbursement. The policy is going to be reimbursed on either a daily or a monthly limit. Now, the problem I have with daily limit reimbursement is if you're receiving care, say, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the home, that's it. You're just having somebody come in for 4 hours at a time. Well, if you spend more than your daily limit on those days where you're receiving care, you're out of pocket for the difference, even though you didn't spend money on the days around that, the day before, the day after that. So that's the problem with daily limits. You have to just be very aware that you've got to kind of balance that out. Once you move into a facility, it doesn't matter. They're just going to average that out. But when you're receiving your care at home, which is what most people do, daily benefits can be a little bit more tricky. Now, the good news is almost all the carriers have moved to a monthly benefit, which is a lot more flexible because, again, long-term care situations may start out slow and then they're going to ramp up over time. And you would be in a situation where maybe I don't have care a few days a week, but then I need more care on those other days. And so what they do is they just look at the full month period and say, you have $6,000 a month to spend. And if you spend $4,000 in the last week, that's okay. They don't care about that. So that's the good news on the daily or the monthly benefits. Most carriers are going to monthly benefits, and we're going to try to put you into a monthly benefit if we can get one. Most of the asset-based plans are monthly benefit. There are just one or two out there that are daily, and then most of the traditionals are starting to transition over to that monthly benefit as well too. Now, when you hear a policy, when they're saying they're going to pay out for 3 years, for instance, what that actually means is that's the minimum time your policy will last if you're taking out the maximum benefit. So if you have a policy that pays you $6,000 a month for 3 years, but you only use $3,000 a month of benefit, well, your policy would actually last you 6 years because the money does not expire. So just keep that in mind. When we see terms on long-term care, it just simply says, hey, this is the minimum amount of time your policy would last if you pull out the maximum. So most people start out slow and they ramp up. So a lot of times, if they have a policy for 4 years, maybe it lasts them 5 or 6 years because they didn't use their full benefits initially when they started. Another thing I want to discuss real quick here is when we turn these policies on, they're going to pay in one of two ways. It's reimbursement, which is standard, or indemnity, which is also known as cash. So reimbursement, again, is the standard way they're going to pay. My policy is a reimbursement policy. It just means they're going to reimburse you for up to your limit. So again, if you have that $200 a day or you have that $6,000 a month, they're going to say, we will reimburse you up to $6,000 a month for care. So if you spend $5,900, they're going to give you $5,900. If you spend $6,500, they're going to reimburse you the full $6,000. That money, unused money, again, remains in the policy. It eliminates record keeping on your end. So reimbursement means we're transferring all that record keeping over to the insurance company. So they're getting a bill from your healthcare providers. They're going to go through that, verify that those are legitimate long-term care services and reimburse you. You're done. You don't have to do any paperwork at all. It puts that burden back over on the insurance company. You can set up direct pay in most cases. So like when my grandmother moved into the assisted living facility, the insurance company was just paying directly to the assisted living facility. The one thing about reimbursements you need to keep in mind is you cannot pay family members. Most of the policies have limitations on that. So you have to hire an agency or you move into a facility or something like that. So that's the reimbursement. You're going to get reimbursed for what you pay. And again, you are in control of that. You can have them reimburse you. You can have them do direct pay, whatever it is. It's just that somebody is going to be sending a bill to that insurance company, and then that's what's going to trigger them to pay you out. The second way you can get paid out there, which is becoming more popular on some of the asset-based plans, we now have three carriers that use indemnity, or what they call cash. So let's say you have that same policy that pays out $6,000 a month. Once you go on claim, they just start writing that check for $6,000. They give you the full monthly benefit. They don't care if you're spending $3,000 on care, $2,000 on care, $12,000 on care. They're just giving you the full monthly benefit per your contract on your insurance policy. Now, some things you need to keep in mind with this on a cash benefit plan, the record keeping is up to you now. You have to keep track of where you're spending that money. Because remember, the IRS uses a per diem amount, which says, you know, you can get up to, it's $390 a day now. It was actually $400 in 2021. They have dropped it back down to $390. That's the first time ever they've done that. So you can use up to $390 a day, which is $11,862 a month. So as long as you're receiving less than that, in theory, the IRS is going to leave you alone. If you're receiving more than that amount, the per diem limit, you either have to count that as income and pay tax on it, or you have to keep records to prove that you spent the money on care. Now, if you don't use your full benefit, you can bank the difference, meaning if you have $6,000 a month on a cash benefit and you only are using three, you can just leave the other three in the bucket. That rarely makes sense if you're under the per diem limit, because remember, when you're in long-term care, most situations, it's kind of end of life. People could pass away at any time. So with a cash benefit plan, you want to get the full benefit even if you're not using it, and just bank the difference, because that way it will go to, that money goes back to your estate. You can pay a family member with a cash benefit plan, which is great. And if you hire a private individual or a family member, just remember you're taking on some additional burden because you become an employer at that time. If you are hiring an agency or you move into an assisted living facility, it makes no difference. You're just, it's fine. But once you hire somebody as an individual, you have to pay the taxes, or they have to pay the taxes because it's income to them, and you're responsible for liability insurance and things like that. So just keep that in mind too. And basically what happens at the end of the year, you're going to get a 1099 LTC, which says, hey, this is how much money the insurance company paid out for you. If it's a reimbursement plan, it's going to be checked reimbursement. You don't have to do anything. If it's indemnity, most of the CPAs out there will say, hey, look, this is an indemnity plan. We need to make sure that we keep records in case the IRS comes back in and audits us. So that's just how you get paid. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here real quick. When we come back, I'm going to continue on the discussion and talk to you a little bit more about how these plans are paid out. And I got a great question of the week from Stephen. We'll get to that as soon as we're back.
Avoid the mistake of paying unnecessary taxes. Guarantee the quality of your care and preserve your legacy and wealth by setting up your own tax-free long-term care plan. Learn more by attending Brian's free live webinar class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to protect many people and their families with long-term care planning. However, I've also seen how long-term care events devastate families and turn the last years for the family into their worst years. Many people believe the downside from a long-term care situation is limited to financial loss. Yet often, it's the emotional damage that lingers and hurts the family members the most. Watching a loved one go through their savings is one thing, but watching a loved one lose their dignity is far worse. Long-term care insurance provides a dedicated source of funds to help pay for your care when you need it. But more importantly, it provides you with a team of trained professionals that will help you and your family manage your care. Learn how you can stay in control of your care options, maintain your dignity, and protect the people you care about most by attending one of our upcoming live webinars. Sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health. but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. Hey, it's Mandy Connell, and a great way to learn about long-term care is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinar this morning at 9. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. They even have plans with lifetime benefits that pay you back if you never use it. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, just like they're doing for my husband and me right now. I love how much time they've spent with us, and it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage gives you. Sign up now for the free live webinar this morning at 9. Sign up at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, Certified Long-Term Care Planning Specialist with 525 Advisors.
Hey, and welcome back. You just heard an ad. We have one more class coming up this month in January. That's going to be Thursday the 20th. That's going to be 4 p.m. Mountain Time. It's going to be 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We have listeners all over now, and so, but it's a live webinar. Just go to our website, 525longtermcare.com. You can sign up, and we're going to send you a link, and all you do is click on that link, and then you can join us for that webinar, and you can send us in and questions, and we'll be glad to answer those for you along the way. So I was just talking a little bit about how plans paid out, and the big thing you need to understand is that you don't get to choose indemnity or reimbursement with the carriers. The carriers are going to have already decided they're either going to be reimbursement or they're going to be cash. And so there is a company out there that actually will allow you to switch from reimbursement to cash, but they reduce your benefit by about 20%. But as a general rule, it's either indemnity or reimbursement right up front. That's how you're going to get paid. I have a real problem with cash plans in the sense that if you're going to pay a family member, yes, and you know that. But most people, the reason why we're having long-term care is so we don't become a burden on our family, so that we have the money to pay for the resources or the professionals. And so on the reimbursement, it just removes all the burden from you. And so that's the big advantages of the reimbursement. It just takes all that record keeping off of your plate and passes that over to the insurance company. Now, I got a question this week from our website from Steven, and if you ever have a question for us, just go to our website at 525longtermcare.com, click the radio tab, and you'll see a little button there that you can send us a question. And Steven sent a question in, and he said, you know, who should look into long-term care insurance? Is there a certain amount of income or assets you need to be below? My advisor says he thinks I'm fine, but how do I know? I giggled. I have to admit, I giggle for a long time when I see questions like this. I mean, it's a real question for Steven. His advisor's saying, "Oh, I think you're okay." And here's the thing: who should look into long-term care insurance? What's really changed out there, Steven, is I will tell you that this is not a need product. There is not a magic number like 700,000 or 3.2 million or whatever the number is. The advisor says it's like, "Oh, I think you have enough money. You don't need to worry about it." You know, traditionally, long-term care insurance has been marketed towards that middle class. So people that have really minimal assets, and you think about it, it's like half of Americans go into retirement with less than $5,000. I mean, it's like 44% or something. It's right near half. I mean, when you really think about it, these are people that are just living off of Social Security. That's really it. So they don't need long-term care insurance because they don't really have any assets to protect. And so what's going to happen for them is they're going to end up on Medicaid. Their health is going to be compromised. They're just going to go straight to Medicaid. And if they don't have any savings at all when they're going into retirement, they probably can't afford the additional outlay for the premiums for long-term care insurance. That money would be better used today for them, but just for food and groceries and medicine. So as a general rule, the poor people don't need long-term care insurance. They're just going to go to Medicaid, which is the growing problem. We've talked about that on the radio. That's the biggest problem this country's facing, is there's a lot of people out there that are going to depend on Medicaid. So we're seeing that line item in the budget just blow up year after year. The rich people were always told, like Steven, your advisor looks at it and says, you don't need to worry about it. You have enough money. Don't worry about it. You just, I wouldn't even. It's just they say that because they don't really know about it. Most of them don't have long-term care insurance themselves. And so how can they get amped up on a product that they don't even know how it works or what it does? So it's always been marketed towards this middle class, but that's that gray area. What is the magic number? Is it you have less than 400,000, you have less than 200,000, whatever it is. The insurance companies will work off of some numbers of suitability, but that's generally on the low side. They're saying, if you don't have really more than $100,000 of assets and X amount of income, you're probably not suitable for long-term care insurance because they don't want to take too much of your income. So that's on the low side. But as far as where's the magic number, where you need to look at it, I laugh at that because the vast majority of our clients out there today can self-insure. And I'm not being facetious. The overwhelming majority of my clients, like 95% of my clients, technically will not run out of money in a long-term care situation. So why do they get long-term care insurance? Why are they looking into it if they have enough money? It's because of the other benefits that a long-term care insurance plan provides. It's the same reason why we have homeowners insurance when our house burns down. I mean, if you have $2 million in your retirement account and your house burns down and it costs $500,000 to rebuild the structure, because, let's face it, your foundation's there, you still own the land, you got the utilities already put in, you just got to get some framing up and the drywall and off you go, right? So if you could rebuild it for $500,000, then you got to start looking at that and saying, well, I've got $2 million, so I really don't need homeowners insurance. That's what the advisors are doing on long-term care. And the reason why we have the fire insurance is because we know that, hey, if the house burns down, it's kind of a big deal. The insurance companies step in, and not only do we have a dedicated source to rebuild it, it doesn't decimate our retirement account, but guess what? They also manage that, and they take care of the rebuilding. People forget about that. Long-term care is the same way. And with certain rule changes under the Pension Protection Act, we have these new asset-based plans that are paying people back. And so what we're really doing is we're repositioning money. We're taking money out of one pocket, putting some features on it, putting it back in the other pocket, and that becomes our insurance. And if we don't use it, that money goes back to our state. But should we need it, it's brilliant because now not only do we have a dedicated source of tax-free money to pay for long-term care, we have the services that go with it, the concierge, the claim support, the case managers, the care coordination, the people that speak the language, the people with the skill sets to help you and your family in a time of need. That is probably why the number one reason why my clients end up getting long-term care insurance. And so when someone comes to us, an advisor says, oh, I think you're okay from a money point of view, it's like, well, we can make that argument for you on just about everything. Some states will actually allow you to self-insure your car. You can just put money in a CD and put the state down. And, $25,000 in a CD or $50,000, whatever the magic number is they set up. But, what happens if you hit the busload of attorneys? Well, guess what? That money's not going very far. And so the whole idea with long-term care insurance is that you're not trying to guess, do I have enough of my wealth? And if the advisor's saying, yes, you have enough money, I don't think you need to worry about long-term care. It's like, okay, what's the first money I'm going to use? What money am I earmarking for long-term care? Because remember, every year, every birthday you celebrate, the chances of you ending up in a long-term care situation increase. And so what happens as we get older, we're going to be more and more dependent on that portion of our assets to pay for care. And so you can't be spending that down. You can't be buying boats and taking the kids on vacation and doing all those things. You're trying to guess. Is it $200,000 ahead? Is it $500,000 ahead? How much do I have to set aside? So from looking at it from just a money point of view, I think it's a tough proposition. And is there a magic number? Absolutely not. I mean, I have clients that are net worth over $50 million that have lifetime benefit long-term care plans because they want the other benefits that come with it. And I have clients that are actually buying traditional plans that are just paying like $70 a month for their long-term care insurance. That's it. So it's a wide range in there of who, the different types of plans that you can get. But the reason why you get a plan isn't because you're lacking money. Again, nobody needs long-term care. You're going to end up on Medicaid if you're poor. If you're middle class, you'll just burn through your assets and you'll end up on Medicaid. If you're rich, you're going to have enough assets to pay for the care. It's more about having that dedicated team of professionals and a dedicated source of money and having that 800 number to call in a time of need so your kids and your family don't have to jump into that situation. So that's a really great question, and I mean, it's a long-winded answer, but again, when you look at some of our examples on our website, you'll see that there's a lot of variations, and why you get long-term care insurance is because you want it. Hey, we're going to head into our next break, and when we come back, I want to introduce you to Andrew. Andrew's our client of the week. Andrew's in a very common situation, facing risks that most people don't understand, and I'm going to tell you about that when we get back. We'll be right back to Long-Term Care Radio.
New asset-based programs protect your savings and your family, and even pay you back if you never use them. Make sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free live webinar classes at 525longtermcare.com. Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back. And, you know, again, we have got our last class for the month. That's on Thursday. That's going to be 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Pacific Time. And that's our last live webinar for January. And then we will get some up on the calendar for February. Can you believe it? We're already talking about February, and it seems like we just rolled into the new year. So time is flying. So, you know, if you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, this is an informational show. We always have our podcast put up, usually the by the time the radio show is broadcast. And so if you miss any of it, you get parts of it in the car, you can always go back to our website and get that podcast or ask your smart speaker. We're on several stations now, at several new stations out in Colorado. So we're on at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 10 a.m., and 1 p.m. in the afternoon on Saturdays out there. So look for our schedule. We have that on our website as well, too, so you can always catch it live. But during the show, we're going to bring you what we call a client of the week. And this is where we just go through the process of how we helped somebody put a long-term care insurance plan in place, why we went that route, and a little bit of background about the client. And again, don't get hooked up on the numbers on this, especially if you're out there driving around. What I just really want you to take away from this is the wide variety of different plans that are available, because long-term care planning is about designing a custom plan for you. Number one, that works for you and your situation. And then number two, figuring out the most appropriate way to fund that plan. And that's really what we do. So this week we have Andrew, who is 56. Now, Andrew is on his second marriage. Andrew has two grown kids of his own. They're in their 30s. His wife, Megan, has two children of her own that are about 10 years younger than Andrew's children. So they're in their 20s. One is still in college and one just out of college. So it's kind of his kids, her kids. They're on their second marriage. Andrew was referred to us from his attorney, him and Megan, that they were working to do some estate planning. They had a prenuptial agreement put together before they got married, but now they were trying to work on an estate plan of, like, you know, as they look forward into retirement and they go and where their assets are going to go and how they're going to divide everything up. And their attorney brought up the situation to long-term care, saying, hey, you know, you guys need to go look into this. Megan was actually covered. Megan had a traditional pay-as-you-go plan that she had taken out through an employer years earlier, and she had that policy. We reviewed it. It was a good policy. I said, yes, hang on to that. You're lucky to have that one, so just hang on to that. But Andrew didn't have any. And here's what you need to know. For if you're in a second marriage or third marriage or whatever it is, you know, when you think about this, when you're young, like when my parents got married, they got married at a, you know, like a year out of high school, got married, joined the service. They didn't have any assets. So everything they have today, or my mom has left now, my dad's gone, but everything they worked for together, they built. If you come to a marriage later and you have assets, whether it's real estate or cash or savings or, you know, whatever it is, car collection, now all of a sudden you have something that maybe you're saying, I want to try to protect. That's what we're going to use a prenuptial agreement for. Now, what you need to understand is that prenuptial agreement doesn't do anything in a long-term care situation. And what I mean by that is that if we come in and let's say we each have a house, we're getting married, we're on a second marriage, we each have our house, we each have retirement accounts, we agree that those are going to be separate and we're going to keep those, and everything we work together we'll put into a new joint plan. Well, when you're on long-term care, I have the stroke and I burn through my assets. Well, my wife's assets are on the table. They're not protected. And we can't go in and say, well, but we separated those. That was her IRA money that she got at her job before we got married. So we can't use that for long-term care. The government doesn't care in that situation. So what you have to understand is that when we're coming into a marriage with assets, yes, we can protect them from divorce and things like that through a prenuptial agreement. But from a long-term care situation, all those assets become community property. Now, there are some carve-outs. I'm not an attorney, but there are some carve-outs in some states for like rental properties and things like that if it's income-producing and you've done this, that, or the other thing. But as a general rule, what most people are worried about is their savings, their retirement accounts, their IRAs, things like that. So when you're on a second or third marriage and you have his and her assets, they are considered community property in the eyes of Medicaid. Therefore, Andrew could go into a long-term care situation. He could blow through his retirement account. And then guess what? Megan's assets are at risk. So this was the situation they were trying to avoid. And this is what their attorney pointed out, saying, look, Megan has long-term care insurance, Andrew, but you're putting her estate at risk because you do not have any long-term care insurance. And so that's kind of how we started that situation and what we kind of got into. And folks, I will tell you this. A lot of people, same thing for divorce. I'm going to do a whole different show on this, on the family, because this happened to us. My grandmother was divorced from her second husband. I'm going to do a whole show on my grandmother's marriage life. But when she got divorced, my aunt was just a teenager. She was just a couple years older than me. And so they ended up being separated. And really what happens in that situation, too, is like, think about it. She had two parents that went into long-term care at the same time, and it was very tough because it's like, who's juggling what? And so when you're in a divorce situation and you're looking out, you're saying, okay, I've decided I don't want to be around this person anymore, but my kids are shared with this person, and who's going to be taking care of who if one of us end up in a long-term care situation? So those are things that we're always talking about with divorce attorneys too. It's like, don't fight over the driving lawnmower. You know, fight over the fact that make sure that you have long-term care insurance, or your spouse does, you both do, so that your kids don't have to give up their life to take care of the person that you're deciding that you don't want to spend any more time with. And so those are things to keep in mind for divorce situations. And then second marriages, when we're coming back in and we're combining two estates, now we're also looking at combining family. Well, whose kids are taking care of who? And that also happened to my mom when my grandmother was on her third husband. And then my mom is playing caregiver for this man that she doesn't really know because his kids are off and about. They're not coming in to step up. So there's all kinds of dynamics in families that you have to be very aware of. But bottom line for Andrew, he just came to us wanting to say, look, we're doing estate planning. I want to make sure that if I get hit by the bus or I end up in a long-term care situation, then I'm not a drain on Megan's estate. So what we found out about Andrew, very healthy guy. I mean, he was in great shape. We had plenty of options for him. That means, again, the underwriting is based on your health, the carriers. And so we looked at that. We always start with the pre-screen. Andrew is in great shape. He wanted a flexible plan that he could use in any situation, meaning, you know, hey, I don't know where I will be. I hope I never need this. But if I do want to pay a family member, I want that flexibility. And I was like, okay, we can do that. He liked the idea of money going back to his kids if he didn't use the money he put into his long-term care plan. Andrew had quite a bit of cash and savings and retirement accounts. He planned on working for, he thought, at least another 5 years for sure, maybe another 10 years. He really liked his job. And again, he was only 56 years old. He did not want to carry payments into retirement, though. So what he was looking at, he said, look, I'm not sure how I want to fund this plan, but I don't want payments when I'm retired. I want to be able to get a plan paid up if I can, either with a finite amount of payments or a lump sum or something like that. So those were kind of some of the talking points that we got from him. And one of the things we found out, too, is that he did have access to a health savings account at work, and he had a very big chunk of money. He'd been maxing out his health savings account for years through work, so he had access to that money as well, too. So here's what we ended up suggesting for him. Of course, we recommended that we look at an asset-based plan because, again, an asset-based plan is going to pay you back if you don't use them. That's why they call it an asset. It's still an asset whether you use it or not. So we recommended looking at an asset-based plan. That's going to check most of the boxes. We can do a limited pay option on it. It has a cash benefit option where we're just talking about the different benefits. We can get a cash or what they call indemnity benefit, so he can pay family members if he wants to, and he can get money back if he never uses it. So that's what we recommended for him. And this is how we structured his plan. We ended up doing a multi-pay plan. We looked at single-pay options, but again, because Andrew was healthy, he had a very sizable health savings account. We can use some of the money out of the health savings account. The IRS is going to allow us deductions per year if you're self-employed or out of a health savings account, and it's based on your age, and every year they adjust that. So it's just a way to use a little bit of tax-free money to pay some of the premium. The benefits still come tax-free. So whenever I see that, whether someone's self-employed or they have a health savings account, I always want to investigate the option of paying overtime and getting some of that deduction. And so that's what we ended up doing. And Andrew felt more comfortable paying overtime as opposed to walking in with a lump sum. He liked the idea of preserving his cash, so that he could have that readily available as opposed to just turning it all over to the insurance company in a lump sum. So we set up a plan with 10 guaranteed level payments of $11,914. Now, again, on these asset-based plans, when we're paying over time, the payments cannot change. Remember, traditional plans, we were talking about this. Traditional plans, they can raise rates, but they have to raise them as a group. They're like health insurance. With asset-based long-term care, the payments are guaranteed level. So we have a finite amount of money that we can budget for. He has 10 payments of $11,914. This will provide him with an immediate long-term care bucket of money of $240,000 that he can access at $5,000 a month. So again, if we take $60,000 a year, we divide that into 240, that's 4 years of coverage. That's how they calculate the coverage. Now remember, if he only takes out half of that money, well, then his policy lasts him twice as long. But bottom line today, for that $11,000 check that he's going to write, he's going to get $240,000 of long-term care insurance that he can access at $5,000 a month tax-free. We also put an inflation rider on it. Again, Andrew's 56. Statistically, he won't need this for a while. So by putting that 3% inflation rider on it, that allows the bucket of money, that 240, to compound by 3% every year. And the amount that he pulls out, that $5,000, that grows by 3% as well every year too. So now when we go out and we say, well, let's look at where he's at when he's 80. Well, when he's 80, he's got $10,164 a month or $120,000 a year cash that he can take out. And he's got a total in his bucket, a total long-term care benefit of $510,000. So again, that's what the inflation rider does. It's not tied to inflation. It's a guaranteed compound rate of 3%, which is going to grow his benefit. His payments don't change. His payments don't go up by 3%, just the benefit. If he doesn't use this policy, let's talk about that. So he's going to put in $119,000 into the policy. If he doesn't use the policy, $120,000 is paid back in the form of a death benefit. The reason why this is important is because if he goes out and gets hit by the bus year one, he's written that check for $11,900, he gets hit by the bus, his family, his estate will get the $120,000. The death benefit starts day one. You don't have to make all the payments before the death benefit. You're eligible for the death benefit. So if he dies at year five and he's made $55,000 of payments into the plan, he's going to get, his estate's going to get the $120,000 still. But once he's fully paid up at year 10, he has no more payments. He has $120,000 death benefit the rest of his life. It's just really designed to return premium to him. He also has a guaranteed minimum death benefit of $24,000. Now, this is pretty cool because think about it. When I was telling you when he was 80 years old, he has $510,000 of long-term care insurance. Let's say he goes on claim and he's on claim for 4 years and he uses all of it. Well, when he eventually passes away, the estate is still going to get a check for $24,000. That's what they call the guaranteed minimum death benefit. I call it a funeral fund. It's just like, you know, pencil that aside. You're always going to get at least that amount back, even if you use all your long-term care. If you never use long-term care, you get the full 120 back. If he's somewhere in between, like he uses more than $24,000 but less than $120,000, that difference will be paid. So let's say he just went on claim for 6 months and used $60,000. Well, the estate would get a check for $60,000 because the death benefit was $120,000. So he's guaranteed to get, you know, all the money he puts into this plan. And if he uses long-term care, obviously a lot more, which is just fantastic. Now, he wanted flexibility. He's relatively young, and at 56, after he's through paying up this plan, when he's going into his retirement years, if something changes and he needs that money back starting at year 11, he has $119,000 of cash surrender value. That's 100% of his premiums. And along the way, you're going to get about 80% of the money paid back. So if you had to cancel at year five or something, you're going to get 80% of your premiums back. But once you've made that 10th payment starting year 11, he gets 100% of his money back if he cancels. So again, we're going back to win, lose, or draw when you think about this. After he's paid this policy up, if he has to cancel, he gets 100% of his money back. If he dies, he gets 100% of his money back. And he's got this growing compounding long-term care benefits, a cash benefit that he can use for long-term care. So just really a fantastic program. And some of the other features you need to know about this plan, it's cash or indemnity, which again means he can pay family members. If he's using a facility or if he's bringing in like a home health care agency, it doesn't matter. They're going to do the paperwork and do the receipt. But if he's, you know, hiring somebody from the community, he's going to have to do the paperwork. But he has the freedom to do that. He has the freedom to hire one of his kids if he wants to. It's got what they call a 90-day, zero-day elimination period. That just simply means that after 90 days, they're going to send him a check. So let's say he's 80 years old and he's up to $10,000 a month. He will pay for the first 90 days of care. Starting month four, he's going to get a check for $40,000. And then every month after that, he'll get his $10,000 until he exhausts his policy. So it's just they're going to reimburse you for the first 90 days. Because, again, it takes a while to get the claim turned on anyway. So that's what they do, 90 days, 0 day. It's kind of unique with this company. It's guaranteed to get all his money back. And he can change his beneficiary on this program, meaning that death benefit. If they get the estate plan done and they want to make the estate the beneficiary, they can do that. If they have a trust, they can make the beneficiary a trust. He can make the beneficiary directly to his kids, whatever he wants to do. So just a really great plan. Now it protects both him and Megan and their kids, and it allows them to move forward with their estate planning. So just a really great program. He's going to get a little bit of tax deductions along the way. And again, guaranteed to get 100% of his money back regardless of what happens. So we're going to head into our final break. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about some of the significant changes that has happened to long-term care recently and over the last few years that you need to know about. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free live webinar classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. Hey, it's Mandy Connell, and a great way to learn about long-term care is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinar this morning at 9. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. They even have plans with lifetime benefits that pay you back if you never use it. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, just like they're doing for my husband and me right now. I love how much time they've spent with us, and it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage gives you. Sign up now for the free live webinar this morning at 9. Sign up at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Do you know that 7 out of 10 people past the age of 65 need at some point some sort of long-term care? That's 70%. Now, many of us think it could never happen to us or somebody else is going to be there to take care of us, but the facts are clear. Most of us will need to pay for help in the future. And not only is that help expensive, but it puts a burden on family members as well. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, start today with 525 Advisors. Recent changes to the Pension Protection Act have made new programs more advantageous than ever. How would you like to get your premiums back if you never use your long-term care insurance? Well, you can. How would you like to leverage some of your savings for increased coverage using tax-free dollars? Now you can. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. Protect yourself and your family members from the high cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com. This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
Okay, welcome back. I tell you, I get pretty amped up on this client of the week. I know I say that every week, but it really is. It's my favorite part of the show. I just actually love going through the process and designing these plans and finding out which company is going to fit your situation best, how much coverage we need, and then B, how do we fund this thing? Where do we get those tax advantages? I love the fact that in our client of the week this week, Andrew's going to be able to use some of that health savings account. And that part of that premium that he pays out of that is going to be basically tax-free money, and it doesn't change the benefit to him. So that's just a really it's getting your cake and eating it too, basically, in that situation. So, and again, we've got our next class is Thursday. So if you want to join us for that, that's going to be at 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Pacific Time. It's a live webinar. Just sign up at 525longtermcare.com. We send you a link. And by the way, somebody had asked me about this. What do we do with the email? We do not spam you. We don't do anything. We're going to send you a follow-up notice telling you when the webinar is, but that's it. So again, you're going to learn the way we work is the way I would like to work with people. I signed up for something the other day, and I mean, I got like 12 emails in a matter of like 3 hours. I was like, it's just ridiculous. We don't do that at all. So just come and join us and learn at your own pace and get your questions answered. So the next webinar is on Thursday. So I wanted to just spend the last few minutes of this show talking a little bit about some of the big changes that have happened over the years. And a lot of people, there's so much misinformation on long-term care out there and long-term care insurance and how it works and what it covers. And I understand where a lot of it came from because there's been some significant changes. You know, back in the day when these policies came out, remember, we invented long-term care insurance here in the United States in the 70s. And bottom line is, honestly, it was just nursing home insurance. That's what the option was. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was you took care of your family member as long as you could, and then they, you know, went to the nursing home. There wasn't a lot of, you know, options in between. Now we have assisted living. We have adult family homes. We have adult daycare centers. We have continuing care retirement centers. You know, we've got special memory clinics. We've got everything out there. We have all these different assisted living facilities. I was just driving through the neighborhood the other day, and there's like a couple new assisted living apartment buildings going up. So we're starting to see these options spring up everywhere. Well, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, which is usually made up of a insurance commissioner from a state that is retired, so they have a panel that they review insurance, health insurance, life insurance, disability, long-term care, and they see what rules need to be made, and they make suggestions, and then they adopt these new rules. Well, what you need to understand is in 2009, it was the Long-Term Care Model Act, which all of the states have accepted. This means that long-term care insurance policies must meet new standards. And a lot of the things that they've done is they've clarified, A, how do you trigger a policy? Used to be in the old days, if you're cognitively impaired, you might need help with 3 out of the 6 activities of daily living. Activities of daily living might be different definitions between carriers. And so there was a lot of kind of wild, wild west as we were inventing this product. And once they realized, you know, this product's going to stick around, people are adopting this product, it's a need, that's when the National Association of Insurance Commissioners got in and really set some standards. So number one, you just need to understand that we have rules now. And so that's what I say, when we know how a policy triggers. So company XYZ cannot have a different trigger than company ABC. They're standardized today, and that's because of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. So we know what defines long-term care, how it triggers, all those things are standard. And so a lot of people are always worried about that. Is this insurance company going to not cover this, and this one will cover this? It's like, no, we know what covered services are. It's been standardized, and so that's something that's been very helpful to the industry as a whole, because now we have some clarity on how these programs work. We're not guessing anymore. And I think probably the biggest thing I'd like to spend the last few minutes on is really that people need to know about long-term care planning. The biggest change was really the Pension Protection Act. And what that did was that gave us new ways to basically put these plans in place and fund them, and gave us a bunch of tax advantages. Prior to the Pension Protection Act, there were a lot of tax consequences inside some of these asset-based plans. I was talking about a savings-based plan a while ago where you imagine you put $100,000 in a CD and it earns 3%, so they would take that $3,000 and buy insurance with it. Well, you had to claim that $3,000 as income and pay tax on it and blah, blah, blah. They removed all of that. They also gave us this 1035 exchange option. So now when we have a life insurance policy, you know, like I was just looking at a small life insurance policy that we have at home, it's like, well, we've got $120,000 of value in it. Our cost basis is like $80,000. And you're looking at it saying, well, if we cancel that, we got to pay tax on the $40,000. Well, under the Pension Protection Act, I can just take that money and do a 1035 exchange into a long-term care plan, and all of that money will now come back out tax-free. So there's lots of things that we have happened with the Pension Protection Act, but really the bottom line where you've seen that growth is the asset-based plans, these plans that are going to pay you back whether you use them or not. And the tax advantages are just fantastic because if I have, like we were talking about last week, a deferred annuity, I put $100,000 into an annuity and it grows to $250,000. Well, when I go to take that money out, I got to pay income tax on the first $150,000. I got to pay it on that growth. Under the Pension Protection Act, I can take that $250,000 and turn it into $750,000 of long-term care insurance, and all of that money comes out tax-free, including the growth. So there's a lot of ways, and that goes back to the question Stephen was saying when his advisor said, I think you have enough money. There's a lot of people that are going to be greatly disappointed when they end up in a long-term care situation because, yes, maybe they have all the money they need to pay for it, but it's like shopping at 7-Eleven, right? It's like there's a Costco next door and there's a 7-Eleven. Where do you really want to do your shopping? It's like you're wasting so much money, and there's a lot of people, especially people with annuities, that are going to pay more in tax over a 5 or 6 year long-term care event. They're going to pay more in income tax than they that would cost them to set up a plan. And so I get excited about Long-Term Care Radio because it's an educational platform where we just want to let you know that don't stereotype long-term care to make it, be what you think it is. There's a lot of options out there. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is figure out what's the best way to mitigate a risk, protect your assets, more importantly, protect the people you care about. Having a long-term care plan, make sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Again, one more class coming up this Thursday. You can get our podcast, sign up for the class at 525longtermcare.com. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Long-Term Care Radio with certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at 525longtermcare.com and learn about all the long-term care planning options available. If you have questions for Brian or would like information about any of his upcoming long-term care webinars, go to 525longtermcare.com. Be sure to join us next weekend for another edition of Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. For information, show schedules, and podcasts, go to 525longtermcare.com.